It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out for Monday, August 17th, 2026. Jim Russell, where does the time go?
I don't know. I can tell you one thing.
What's
that? It's going faster every year, though.
Seems like it.
I think faster every year, and it seems to get hotter every year.
Speaking of faster,
yes.
Let's talk about the IHRA.
Well, we can talk a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know a great deal. We successfully and happily sold Desert Storm to the IHRA, and it was the loose plan as of a week or so ago was that DSM was going to assist the IHRA in producing the event for 2027, very much as we have in the past. During our ownership,
mm-hmm.
But then it was announced last week that the IHRA has resold the event, and so Desert Storm is now owned by Chad Havens.
Oh, okay.
And Chad,
it's the private ownership.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. A good guy, a performance boating enthusiast. He is the owner of the Demon Bikini Race Team, plus I think he has other big competitive boats of mm-hmm. of his own as well, and he loved Desert Storm and wants to see it bigger and better and everything like that.
Have you seen him at the event before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
You know him.
He's been a regular participant.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And you and Steve have been
and
in contact,
sponsor.
Obviously.
Yes,
so.
He has been an important sponsor for some years, and we expect good things.
Right, like a 9,000-foot or square-foot tent, right, instead of 8,500.
That's right. That's
that was
right.
The biggest tent I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was the biggest tent, I believe, ever in half.
Yeah,
seen.
That was crazy. All right, we're going to welcome to the show Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling. Welcome, sir.
Good morning.
And Lake Havasu City Deputy Fire Chief Jason Stello.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. You've been on the show before, right?
It's been some years, probably a decade or so, but yes,
oh,
I've been on the show before.
Wow. So you were probably here.
You bet. If it was a Monday.
Right, right. Anyway, we call this the Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Sí.
And, boy, a lot going on, a lot of talk on social yeah. media, especially about flock cameras. You knew I was going to lead with that, right?
The happy look on Chief's
I know.
Face.
He's like, really?
I anticipated that being part of the conversation.
You expect me to throw Jason to the wolves first, did you?
He was hoping.
You want to talk about flock?
Yeah, well, there's been a couple of instances around the state, not mm-hmm. here in Havasu, of course,
right.
of officers. I don't know if they're detectives, officers, brass, I have no idea, but using flock to track, say, estranged wives, things of that nature.
Yeah.
It just makes the whole system look bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of conversation regarding, and Flock's being the company that's kind of been called out, but there's several automated license plate reader companies out there that has that technology. Flock just happens to be one that's getting the most attention, and there's a lot of things. If you go on social media, you can really get embedded in the negative pieces of that.
What? Negativity on the internet?
On social media, yeah.
Say it isn't so.
I wish I could. But, I mean, it brings up some valid conversations, and, the concerns from, one side of it is that, they're afraid that it's mass surveillance being used by the government, and there's components to it. The problem is it's usually mixed in with misconceptions or misinformation about what the technology is, and I can only speak, obviously, for what we are using here in Lake Havasu City. We've had automated license plate readers in our cars for several years, and then we have the stationary ones. We have 10 cameras that we have in Lake Havasu City spread across from the north end to the south end along the highway corridor. We don't have them, reaching up into neighborhoods, those type of things. Mm-hmm. But we started with that program a couple years ago. Been very successful for us. But some of the things that I've been hearing and seeing on social media has to do with, what it is or what it isn't. And ultimately, speaking for the platform that we have, it's a camera that takes a still photograph of a vehicle as it passes the camera. And so what that does for us, that data is stored in that system for right now, the current default is 30 days. It's up to the agencies that have the technology on how long they want to keep it for. Recently, as things continue to, progress.
Develop.
Flock recently, as of last week, has defaulted that to a 7-day window. And so it's still up to the individual agency on how they want to manage their system. But ultimately, yes, we pay Flock to have the cameras here. And essentially, the data that gets collected goes into a cloud server, and we have the ability to be able to access that data when needed. Now, the ultimate part for us is it's used for law enforcement purposes only, right? And so some of the things that have come up is the officers that are getting in trouble nationwide. I mean, we've had a few here in Arizona as well, and which has resulted in agencies canceling their contract with, in this case, Flock happens to be the one that gets the headlines. And so, yeah, I can't say that is that that's a move that the leadership in those departments, those cities are making. Yeah, that's up to them. But what we're looking at is we have the safeguards in place to be able to ensure to the best of our ability, especially from an administrative and a public safety aspect, mm-hmm. that it's being utilized appropriately. And so with that, if we find out that it is utilized improperly, then there's going to be consequences to that. Just like any other database that our officers mm-hmm. are entrusted with, we have numerous. People allow us a lot of trust, mm-hmm. and I think we earn that trust, how we operate, especially in our community. We have a lot of public safety support, and we appreciate that. And so you have to give a little trust to me as your police chief that we have safeguards in place. And if we find that it's being misused, we're going to jump on that, just like other agencies have.
Right.
You have questions maybe.
Well, yeah, in Mesa PD, for mm-hmm. example, they're no longer sharing their Flock data with anybody. Is that something that you've considered as well?
We have, and so Tempe, I think, is one that just recently, the one that I look at how other agencies are, what they're doing,
Tempe.
Locking it down.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So in this case, I use Tempe as, they shared with multiple agencies at one time, and then as of last week, they locked it down. I think their city has around 33 cameras, somewhere like that. And so they locked down their system where they only allow access to those 33 cameras within their jurisdiction. Oh. And so I looked at ours this morning before I came in, just kind of make sure I had the information. But we have about 190 cameras statewide that we could have access to that we allow to share. Typically, our investigations are Lake Havasu cameras and La Paz County. Because we intersect very well, you know, La Paz County has them at the Bill Williams Bridge, right? And
sure.
So it makes sense because we're able to track a vehicle from that south end of town if they go anywhere between there and La Paz County.
Yeah, there's only one road to take, too.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I have a case that we can talk about just on how that came into play.
Sure.
But ultimately, it comes down to this, is it takes a still photograph of the rear of a vehicle focused on the license plate area. But what that does is, obviously, AI comes into play in this, that it creates a searchable photograph. In other words, if I have information that I'm looking for a specific vehicle, maybe I don't have the plate number, but I'm looking for a black Mercedes. And we've had a case with a black Mercedes. And we have a approximate, we know when the crime occurred. Now we can check we'll start with our local cameras and kind of see, okay, has it hit any of our 10 cameras in town in similar time frame as when this crime was committed, and
sure.
we can start narrowing down the scope.
And work your way out.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
And a lot of times what we end up having is we don't just immediately jump to flock. Yeah, there are occasions maybe we will, but typically it's neighbors in a especially residential area.
Oh, yeah.
We reach out, hey, do you have a camera system, which there's a lot of them out there now. We'll get information from them that captures a possible vehicle that was at the residence that just got burglarized. And so we can use that information, plug that into the system on the criteria that we have, and hopefully find a vehicle matching that description that hit one of those license plate readers. And so it's a tool for us to be able to start narrowing down the scope of that investigation.
And just a question to expand my understanding. From what you've said, if I follow correctly, what we're really talking about is a piece of data that is collected and put into a file somewhere.
Correct.
It isn't that the rogue officer, for example, goes and sets out to search for his girlfriend's car.
Right.
It's looking in a file cabinet, not aggressively controlling these miracle cameras.
Yeah, that's a great way to explain it. It kind of going along the safeguard piece of that, right? So
yeah.
How do I know? Well, we have mandatory monthly audits that occur. That's on the base level. And we have our administrator of the program, who happens to be Lieutenant T.J. Francis. So he oversees the administrative role of that. And so he does monthly audits. In addition to that, there are criteria in place that, let's say, a vehicle license plate was searched multiple times. We have a set number. If it's searched over that amount of time, then it will create an alert.
Oh, it's a flag. Okay.
And then Lieutenant Francis gets that alert, and that cues him in. He needs to go see, okay, is this a legitimate search? And so there's criteria. Officers have to input a report number or a case number, what type of crime it is that's being investigated, and so it gives him some criteria to go in and actually follow it to see, is that a legitimate case? And he can go in and start making sure that, yes, this is on the up-and-up search. So he gets several of those alerts based on that search criteria, in addition to those monthly random audits that he does. And so those monthly audits, he's able to go in, randomly choose officers, see how many searches they've conducted in that month, and he goes into each one of those cases to ensure that it lines up appropriately with the criteria that we've
Very interesting. Yep. All right, we do have a phone call. Let's go to the Speak Out line. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, guys. Let's talk about the Bluetooth ability with this Flock device, also the fact that it's picking up signals from cell phones and logging that information. That's kind of a well-known fact about these. So it's not just a license plate reader, it's also picking up wireless signals from devices as they pass and logging those.
So I thank you, and I'll just for the caller.
Yeah, did you want to listen off the air?
Yep, that's good.
All right, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for the question, because that is one that I have seen on social media as well. And again, I'm speaking for the platform that we have, which is the Falcon platform. And so I have heard that. That's not something that is occurring on our platform. Ours is not speed cameras. It's not taking pictures of the front compartment of the vehicles. There's nothing else other than that still photograph that we're able to search off of.
So the Falcon is different than the Flock. Is that right?
Well,
Flock's
the vendor.
Oh, I see.
Flock's the vendor, and then there's different platforms. So because I've seen it where, you know, people will call out Flock has cameras in, let's say, a city park. And so are there other technologies attached to a Flock, the Flock vendor platform? Yeah, potentially that is. I just can't speak to that part of it. I'd need a, you know, an IT person from Flock to be able to answer those questions.
Yeah, we've had the comments on the show that people can go up to the camera and program it. And I don't know the truth to that. But anyway, let's take another call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, on Fox 10 this morning, they showed the way they showed the morning rush hour traffic is by catching the pings off the phones in the cars. But the question I had, and you might be able to answer this, is this legal? I looked yesterday, and people are putting wraps on the back of their car on the outside that confuses the camera. I'm going to just listen to your response off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right,
for
thank
the
you.
Call.
That's like a license plate deflector, I take it.
Yeah, I don't. As long as it's a legible license plate from the view of an officer that observes that, then I don't. I mean, if it's trying just to trick the camera, but it's still an observable and a legible plate to the naked eye, then I don't think it's illegal. I haven't heard that one specifically, but I'm sure there's going to be just like anything else, people are going to figure out or navigate a way to bypass the technology.
Oh, people were doing that years ago with the red light cameras.
Sure.
You remember that?
Right.
All right, let's take another phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
I had a question. If they do not do the in-cab recognition, why is it that there is a camera set up at the rear exit, which is a one-way, and it is aiming directly into the cab only behind Home Depot?
So
rear exit of Home Depot.
Yeah, I will speak to this.
There's four in front of Home Depot.
Yes. There are a lot of private industry, like Lowe's, Home Depot, homeowner associations, that they can also purchase this technology for their properties. I will tell you that from the law enforcement perspective, they do not openly share with us as law enforcement. We have to specifically request it for specific cases. What they use it for, I can't speak to that. And how they have them, located on their properties, I cannot attest to.
So your detectives would be in an investigation at Home Depot and say, do you have cameras on property? Then they would divulge that that's one of them.
Yeah, and there would be a process to that. You know, we'd have to get, the approval from their management. But typically it still comes down to that we're searching that or asking for the permission to search their database, their permission for that.
And,
so we just can't go do that.
Those cameras aren't providing input into the file that you guys look
at. Correct. We don't have access to openly search that database. Yeah.
Well, you did have a pretty good success story that ended up behind Walmart. There was a fugitive from Colorado that you tracked on Flock. I remember that from about a year ago.
Is that the one with the shooting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
but you got the bad guy. Unfortunately, you lost two detectives.
Yeah. It's one use for that. So we had information from a Yavapai County that they had a potential missing person, and so they knew who what vehicle belonged to that person, the license plate and everything. And so, just like anything else, they reached out to our detectives saying, hey, we believe this person may be in your jurisdiction. Can you help us? And so our detective's like, yeah, this will be an easy missing person clearance if we can find them, right? And so they search our Flock camera system, and they see that vehicle has entered and left the city on the north side past the airport back there several times within a period of time. And so they're like, well, it's logical that this person's probably staying out in the Craigie Wash or one of the desert areas just camping out.
Sure.
So they took a drive out Craigie Wash first, and they went about a mile up, and on a little hill, they see about 40 yards off, they see the vehicle matching the description of the missing person's vehicle. And so the detectives get out of the car to go hopefully make contact with the missing person and clear that case. And as soon as they get out of their cars and identify themselves, the person opens fire on them.
Jeez.
And it ends up in a shootout. And ultimately what it was determined, long story short, is that the individual driving the missing person's truck was the person that killed the missing person and had dumped their body out near the Vegas area and was driving the victim's truck around still. And so that's what ultimately resulted in that case. But just, similar cases, the arson at the Calvary Church the end of last year, that was a big case that that would have been very difficult to solve without the LPR cameras,
right.
Where the surveillance video, again, a lot of cases start with surveillance video that we have, narrows it down to a potential make, model, if we can get a license plate, that'd be fantastic. But in that case, we got a vehicle description, plugged it into the license plate readers, found a vehicle matching that description. Of course, this is early morning hours. They see a vehicle within the time frame leaving southbound on the highway, and then it does not hit the La Paz County camera. So they believe that this individual is somewhere between Sarah Park and La Paz and Bill Williams Bridge, right? And so from there, they start narrowing down the scope. And this is, you're talking within a matter of minutes, right? They're able to narrow that scope down. Ends up, you know, flying drones out in the desert and find that the vehicle's off in the desert, and they're able to do a SWAT operation and take the person into custody. And ultimately, that was all due to surveillance cameras, and then we were able to plug that information into a license plate reader.
That case recently adjudicated, too. And there was like $250,000 to $500,000 damage. Is what they said.
Jeez.
All right, little. How about Flock of Seagulls? You like that?
Sure. Oh,
very good.
Go to break. Take a little Flock of Seagulls out to break. We still have Jason Stello here. I'll get to you, I promise.
Sounds good.
It's just one of those topics, right?
Yep, sure.
All right. Back with more in a moment. You're listening to Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy, along with Brother Jim Russell and our guest, Police Chief Troy Sterling of Lake Havasu City, and Deputy Fire Chief Jason Stello. Back with more in a moment. You can participate by text as well, 928-727-5566. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Told you I'd get you in there, fire and rain, right?
That's right.
It was either that or fire down below. So, anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and by Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, Main Street, Lake Havasu. You like that name, don't you?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
Food's even better. So, all right, don't forget to patronize our sponsors. They are some of the smartest people on the planet.
They certainly have to be to spend their advertising dollar right here with us.
That's right. I want to talk to Jason for a little bit, but now the phone cuts us off,
yes.
Right? You might have been saved by the bell again, Jason. All right. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
So it's not my concern that the officers have access to the cameras or that they're paying for a subscription that only gives them certain access. It's that, for instance, the cameras that were used in Phoenix, they then said, well, we'd like to have sound for the gunshot. So they activate the Raven system, and then the Raven system, without any further updates, they say, well, we want to move to the next system, and they're like, well, it can do human voice recognition. And so my problem with the system is that you're paying for a subscription on a camera that you're told, oh, we're only going to do this with. It's not that you guys are the bad entity. It's that they're actually gathering all of that data in the background, and then they're able to do what they please with it. It is them that I do not trust. I guess that's it, and I'll listen to your answer.
Yeah,
all right,
you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
good point.
I appreciate that, yeah. And I agree that I think the product is a scalable product, right? And I think that's what their intention was when they first started creating this platform. And I think that's why we've seen it all over. Yeah, I've heard about the ShotSpotter technology that's attached to these. Thank goodness, knock on wood, we don't need that technology here in our community, because we don't have, you know, a lot of gunshots. Thank goodness, right? But yeah. I think what it all comes down to is, it's you know, it's in the name of public safety is what the common theme seems to be, right? I think anything needs to have the appropriate safeguards, the guardrails in place to ensure that it's not being abused. And I think what's happening, is it being abused? It is being abused. And so that's where, you know, those are the headlines. And, hey, I'm all for holding those people accountable that misuse it, because our citizenry absolutely trust us to do our job, maintain public safety. I mean, come on, our mission statement is ensuring a secure community, right? A safe and secure community. Right. So, you know, we need to do what we can to help that. But if we have officers that abuse that, then they don't need to be in our profession. And so, so I think it comes down to, sir, to answer your question, yes, I understand the scalability of the platforms. We don't have that here, and we haven't looked at doing that here. And I also anticipate this next year going into the legislative session that there's going to be some safeguards put in place by legislation, and to include consequences of misuse, such as making it a criminal offense. And so those are things that I don't think you're going to hear any chief, especially in Arizona, argue with putting those type of safeguards in place. So we're on board with that. Just like any other system that we are entrusted with, there are consequences if you misuse that as well. So just right now, the license plate reader technology is the one that's hitting the headlines.
So, Chief, the cameras that are here under your lease or arrangement, do you have control over those other capabilities, or can the supplier of the cameras access those capabilities and sell them to someone else?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. No, we own those cameras,
okay.
Right? And so there wouldn't be anything done to those unless we authorized
good.
That. And so these are obviously, I think every week it seems like there's something new coming out from even Flock, right, based on the feedback that they're getting. They've now, you know, defaulted to saving data for only 7 days versus the 30-day default that it was before. So just trying to, you know, lock down the system as much as possible. Different jurisdictions just locking it down where it's only searchable within their own community, those type of things. And so we're trying to navigate through trying to make sure that we're utilizing it appropriately, and because it is a tool, and that's all it is a tool that I'd hate to see law enforcement lose the tool. And so really, to me, the important part is that we don't abuse it. And so it really comes back to that, especially from my perspective in our jurisdiction.
Well, I want to bring Jason Stello into the show, into the conversation. And where's the dirt on Chief Pete? That's what I want to know.
Oh, boy. I knew this was going to happen today.
Cameras going on Chief Pete?
But no, tell me about Jason Stello. How long have you been with the department? How long have you been in Havasu?
So I've lived in Havasu for 35 years. I've worked for Lake Havasu City Fire Department for 31 years. And I've served in every position in the operational side of the department except the fire chief's position.
Wow.
So firefighter, engineer, captain, battalion chief, training officer, EMS coordinator, and now the deputy chief of operations. And I've been a paramedic for 29 of those 31 years.
What do you tell these young people that come up, say, through the CTE programs, and that when you meet them, obviously they have a first week or whatever, they're breaking in. What kind of advice do you give those people?
Yeah, so I go out there and talk to them. I do a little class on them on the interview process on how to get hired. A lot of the younger generation is so into the social media and the electronic platforms out there that sitting in a room and actually interviewing with, you know, the police chief or the fire chief or our command staff, they're not well versed in that. And so I talked to them a lot about ethics and integrity on how to get there, a lot about public service, and then a lot about the commitment to get through the fire academy and the emergency medical services portion of the job. I mean, that is the new thing in the fire services, is emergency medical services at the paramedic level. We obviously run far more medical emergencies than we do fires or traumatic injuries, and so it's really important that they understand kind of what they're getting into, and that's what the great part of the CTE program is. It gives them a feel for that in the high school era before they commit to that type of a career.
How much water safety training do you need, especially in a lake town like this?
So the water safety training they get with us as they come on, when they get hired at first, they go through a normal lifeguard type swim test, and we make sure that they have the basic skills to operate in and around the water. And then our programs, our fireboat training program and our lakeshore rescue program, is what provides the the remaining portion of the training. That's specific to shoreline rescue and water, say 15 feet or less, and operating directly off the fireboat in and around the shallow water areas, or maybe down to about 10 or 12 feet, bringing somebody out of the water for boating type accidents.
Yeah, it's such a different focus than, say, the Laughlin Bullhead area where you have swift water rescue because you have a current.
Correct. You know. So we train on swift water too. It's not our bread and butter for what the nature of our shoreline is and our boating operations, but we do have a technical rescue team and we train on swift water type rescues for like the storm and monsoon type activity in our wash areas.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a short break, but I want to talk about you're gonna hurt me on this one. You're gonna come across the table probably e-bikes. Because there's also the storage aspect, right? Keeping them plugged in, charged, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And keeping them safely plugged in. But, yeah, let's talk about e-bikes when we come back, Chief.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
No problem. No problem at all.
Are they on the cameras, too?
I think my part of this one's going to be a little easier.
It probably will be. All right, a little electric eye from Judas Priest way back in the day, right? I don't know if you listen to that kind of music back in the day, but... yeah, they were talking about surveillance by camera also. So back in the early 80s. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. That's how you participate, by phone. And we are with Chief Troy Sterling and Deputy Fire Chief Jason Stello.
And lots of good calls today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, lots of good calls. Probably five so far. Yeah. Made this talk radio, not just listen radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Had to throw in a fire song there, Jim. Yes. Right?
Yes, it would be very appropriate.
The name of the song, music. Fire, by Jimi Hendrix, of course. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. Want to remind everybody, I made this announcement last Thursday. On Wednesday, September 23rd, go ahead and mark your calendars at the, what is that called? The PAC, right? At the high school? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chief.
Yeah, the PAC.
Performing Arts Center. Right. Oh. 5 p.m. doors, 5:30 is the start of the event. We're going to have a candidates forum for the general election. Yeah, quite a few candidates have been invited. And then on election night, Ron Gould and myself will bring you the returns again.
Gee, so, you've been a busy guy with the election.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. All right. And, yeah, hopefully we'll get that last drop by 9:30, maybe hopefully before 10 p.m. So
you won't lose any sleep.
No, it's the day of votes that day because the first drop you get are the early votes. So... then you're waiting for the day of, but those people that walk in their mail-in ballots and drop them, that's what kind of stalls the whole process, if you guys didn't know. So, all right, let's talk about e-bikes. Have we gotten, where are we with e-bike enforcement, Chief? We haven't talked about this in a while.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
Well, yeah, I see more and more of them out there, but they don't seem to be as crazy as they had been.
I think it goes with the seasons, right? You know, right now you don't see as many out or in specific areas because of the heat. But they're out there. Matter of fact, yesterday our officers got into a little chase with a couple of them, the ones that are illegal to operate. And one of them happened to be an out-of-state person visiting here. But they didn't stop for the police. We used a drone. Are able to narrow down where they were, and we ultimately caught them and charged them accordingly. But it's not as frequent of the complaints that we're seeing like we are when in the nicer months, when we have more pedestrians out walking and enjoying the weather. But it's still there, and it's especially our community services unit. You know, they're primary areas are focusing in the downtown area, especially the parks and the channel area. So they're doing their part to try to educate and enforce when appropriate.
What do you mean by the illegal variety?
So the Saron style, the electric motorcycles that don't have the pedals. Essentially, it's just an electric motorcycle that parents buy for their kids, and they just go out and tear things up. We've had our parks tore up with them speeding across our fields and those type of things. So just trying to, when we can capture them, we make sure that we seize the vehicle and give a nice education to parents before we end up releasing those vehicles back to them. But those ones are required by law to be insured, registered just like a vehicle.
Just like a motorcycle?
Exactly.
And they need a motorcycle endorsement.
Exactly right.
Wow, interesting. Wow. All right, what about storage for the e-bikes, Deputy Chief Stello?
So I think the storage, it has really only thing to do with the storage is the lithium batteries that are in them, and that's with any lithium battery, and that's almost every rechargeable product we have out there on the market these days. And I think the problem we see with them is some of them are Underwriter Laboratory approved, that under UL 2054 is one of the approvals, and the other one's the Nationally Recognized Testing Laboratory. Not everything that's shipped into the United States or not everything that we buy may be appropriately tested or have the appropriate charger with them, and so that combined with heat exposure to the batteries and cells or damage to the cells can cause significant problems. So a lithium battery takes chemical energy and then it turns it into electrical energy. And when they're exposed or damaged to a specific heat source or overcharged, they call it what's thermal runaway. And that thermal runaway process is one cell catching fire, and then that heat damages all the other cells.
Oh, my
gosh. And then all that chemical energy turns into fire, a significant off-gassing of the lithium, and the explosion potential. And so that's everything from, cell phones all the way through. It's just some of the more frequent products are tested or well-vetted, and the chargers are automatic, and some of the stuff that you buy may not have an automatic charger, and it just keeps putting the heat to it all the time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the stuff we see that can cause a significant problem is the purchase of aftermarket RC car batteries that aren't made by the manufacturer, recommended by the manufacturer, and then they're using off-brand chargers and different things. And so, yeah, damage
those
cells.
Just going to ask that, too.
Yeah, same. And it's the same thing with the e-bikes. If they're modified or they were purchased without an appropriate automatic charger, or they're not using it as the manufacturer recommended, you can see that. They have a lot of those issues in the bigger cities, in the college dorm rooms, the little scooters, the bikes being charged by the kids that aren't really following the recommendations. So,
any advice to the folks out there on how to not overcharge, maybe set an alarm or something?
So the first thing is make sure the charger is an automatic charger and it's appropriate for the vehicle you bought. And then the second thing is only charge it when it needs to be charged and unplug it. So setting an alarm, just leaving them plugged in arbitrarily when they're not in use is probably not good practice, especially out here in the heat. One of the damaging factors to these lithium batteries is excessive heat exposure.
Oh.
And then for us in this time of year, that's our natural environment. So
is it better to run the batteries down to say, 25%, 10%, something like that before you end up charging them?
Yeah, so that depends on what product you're using and the charger that's involved. Some of the automatic chargers do cycle the batteries and charge them back up, but others do not. And in that case, running the battery down low and then charging it back up is better for it. But it really depends on the manufacturer's recommendation and the specific use of the battery and the charger that you have.
And in the older devices, the nickel-cadmium batteries, those batteries tended to develop a memory, and they wanted to spend their time in the condition they spent most of their time in.
That's
so
good.
They would, if you didn't charge them fully when you put them away, they would gradually build up a resistance to taking a full charge. That's typically not the case with the lithium.
With the lithium ones, you'll see, a lot of these bikes have like a slide that the battery slides into a compartment.
Uh-huh.
If it's difficult to get in or out of there because the battery has swollen a little bit, that is a sign of some damaged cells in it, and they're starting to off-gas a little bit in there. And that is a common problem. People don't realize that. They just jam the battery, and they continue using it, and that's how you run into trouble.
Wow, expert knowledge of batteries over here.
I suspect on that we have a chainsaw, and the battery for it's a brick. Mm-hmm. And I often think, boy, this thing could do, if it caught fire, it could do a lot of damage.
Yeah, I've had
a lot of energy.
I have one of those wireless chargers in the car for the cell phone. But it seems like the phone gets hotter using that than it does actually plugging it in.
Yeah, they're conducting the energy back and forth, charging the battery.
Oh, using
so
the whole
it's
back.
Almost like a magnetic type of thing. That so yeah, you do get a little heat with that, and almost every battery you feel a little heat if you're charging a, say, a DeWalt drill or a Ryobi drill. Mm-hmm. If it's on the charger, you're going to feel a little heat there, and that's normal. It's just whether the cell's damaged or not is the problem that you might run into.
So Chief Troy, I've noticed on the website, there's going to be a job fair for the city.
Yes.
But then when you go to the city's website and the positions that are open, a lot of them are in your department.
Yeah. Historically, we tend to have a lot of vacancies for police officer trainees, dispatch, and the detention center. So being a detention officer. So those are our three main ones. And so, yeah, just... city's hosting that career fair, what is it, August 28th, I believe it is, so that day. And so we'll have a booth there, and please encourage people to come down and ask questions about what the those specific jobs entail, but any other job within the city would be an opportunity. Yeah, we're continuing. Right now on paper, we have 6 police officer trainee vacancies, but that's with 8 currently in our police academy. They just finished week 4, so they have a ways to go yet before they're I'm going to be out on the street. And then we're doing interviews today for detention officer. But those are open recruitments. So as we get applicants that come in, if we haven't filled all the positions, we'll get the group together and we'll conduct the interview. So it's just ongoing.
Have you started the training at Wellita yet?
It is, yep.
Western Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy.
You got it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad.
Woo.
Impressive.
That's been a few years.
Yeah, they just finished
doing stories.
So they started week 5 today. So they're
Have
21 weeks to go.
How many did you start with?
We started with 9 that started attendance. We had one that was let go for integrity issues, and so that we won't stand for that, especially at that level. If you already have a problem in the first couple weeks, we don't.
What's an integrity issue?
They just lied about something very simple.
Oh.
About writing an essay, and how that essay came in front of the supervisor. So just don't lie about things.
Don't use AI, Jim.
Don't use AI. That's another one, too. Yeah. Follow instructions.
And if you're going to, tell the truth when you're asked.
Yes, absolutely.
So you started with 9, you're down to 8. But what did they go through before they went into the academy? Was there the background check and all that?
Yeah, the background check. So for a police officer, the background check includes, obviously, the background investigator is diving into your employment history, any type of references, prior employers, supervisors, family. Then you have a polygraph examination, or we use the iDetect machine now. You have to go through a psychological and a medical, and then at that point, if we feel that you have the character and the integrity as part of your history to join our team, then a job offer will be placed.
So, Jim, I'm doing a checklist, right? It's like the employment check, and then the
I
rest of it is a fail. What is the
it's
eye?
A lot.
What is the eye detector? I've never heard of this.
So the eye detect is a machine that essentially reads your eyes. So everybody, I think, probably familiar with what a polygraph is.
Sure.
That was the mandatory testing process before. The eye detect system is very similar. It's a tool. There's basic questions surrounding, you know, drug use, criminal history, completing the appropriate paperwork truthfully, those type of questions. And you go sit in front of the machine, and you have to answer those questions as you're looking at the screen, and it reads your eyes. And so ultimately, it's been very accurate.
Huh.
And so we allow the person to take that initial test. If they are areas that they failed, then the background investigator will sit down, have a conversation with them about what they were thinking at that time, hopefully weed out any concerns there, and then we allow them a second opportunity. And a lot of times it comes back as same. You know, they failed that, and so that's it.
How fascinating.
What do your eyes do when you lie?
Probably the pupils.
Just the minute movement. So
gosh.
I first tested it out, it had to do with,
Did you pass?
I didn't pass. Had to do with choosing a number between 1 and 10.
Uh-huh.
And then you answer questions based on that. And there's sections in it that ask you to intentionally lie or answer the question wrong, right? And so I was like, this is non-stressful.
Oh,
I got through. There's no way this machine's going to get me. It did. It got me a lot.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's wild.
I've never heard of that.
Incredible. You know what? Yeah, it's all... new stuff now.
Yeah, very cool.
From flock cameras to eye detectors. It's crazy. And now we have a lithium battery expert over here. I like it. Got a lot of good information on this show. All right, thanks for the participation over the phone. Our listeners, fantastic today. Jim, thanks for being here.
Thank you. And, gentlemen, thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, don't forget, Labor Day is coming up, folks, so be safe in the channel, safe out on the lake, and, yeah, let's keep it a fatality-free Labor Day,
let's
right?
Absolutely. Let's
All
do
right.
that for sure.
I'll come back with a final shot in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Thanks, Brother Jim.
You got it.
All right. That was one informative show.
Yes. I'm certainly interested in all of that stuff with our flock cameras.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, and thanks to the callers for calling in with their questions. I think that's all expands everybody's knowledge about them.
Right. Didn't mean to monopolize the time or anything. It's just it's a very interesting topic, and we had the phone calls to go with it. So.
Yes.
There you go. Jason Stello, pretty good guest.
Definitely.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to fire Chief Pete yet.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty good show.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Tomorrow we have the Western Arizona Council of Governments. We'll be talking about elder care and the Area Agency on Aging. Carol Smith will be I can't remember her last name. Anyway, she'll be on the show. A great guest driving up from Yuma. And a lot of good information. I don't have anything for Wednesday yet.
Well,
I guess I better get on that, huh?
Yeah. Wednesday will be here before you know it.
Probably something on the wall calendar. It's just not in my calendar yet. So, all right. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Jim, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.